By definition, history is a collection of facts. Now, when someone attempts to inject opinion or an agenda into history, the result is an unreliable fable designed to compel specific opinion from others, for example. That's something which many scholars have tried to do for years, regarding the Islamic invasion and centuries-long domination of Europe. My next guest with his new book presents the concrete facts from original sources, which proves that these scholars are wrong at least, and maybe even biased at the worst. His research also offers a view of the goals, maybe you can even say, of today's radical Islam, as we see what's happening in the here and now. The book is The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. He's an associate professor at Northwestern University's Department of Spanish and Portuguese, as well as a former member of the National Council on the Humanities, Professor Dario Fernandez Moreira. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for inviting me.
And we have a link to Professor Moreira's page over at Northwestern University. It's one of those long, sort of like state government URLs. So instead of trying to repeat it, you know where to find it over at our website. Just for a real brief foundation background for the uninitiated, because when I said about the Islamic invasion and domination of Europe, that might come as a shock to those who are not well-versed in world history. How large of an invasion, how much of a territory at one point did Islam rule over Europe?
Well, that has varied over time. In the period that concerns my book, it started around 711, and the domination included most of Spain, except the northwest, the more mountainous areas of Asturias and Galicia, which the Muslim invaders could not conquer. Then they tried to get into France. They crossed the Pyrenees, and they sacked a number of towns in southern France, but they were stopped. They were stopped at a big battle, Battle of Tours, or also Poitiers, around 732, by the de facto ruler of what we call today France at the time. And after that, they were not really a danger from that side. However, from the side of Eastern Europe, the situation began to get pretty bad after the Turks defeated the Christian Greek Roman Empire, the so-called Byzantine Empire, in the 10th and 12th and 11th centuries. And then they took over what is today's Anatolia, which is where Turkey is. All that territory was the territory of the Christian Greek Roman Empire. And then they started gradually pushing west. They eventually went and conquered what is today's Greece and Constantinople, which is today's Istanbul. And they pushed up the Balkans, just like today. Up the Balkans, and they defeated the Hungarians, and they defeated the Serbians, and they got as far as Vienna. So it's a long history. It's a centuries-long struggle for the conquest of Europe on the part of the Islamic Caliphate. And first it was the Caliphate of the Arabs, the Islamic Caliphate of the Arabs, and the Turks, of course, had converted to Islam, and they took the leadership of the Islamic world. And that's the last part I was talking about, the Turks.
And as you heard Professor Fernandez Moreira's choice of words with invasion and conquest, it's, if you're thinking hostilities and violence, you would be right. But, Professor, with the myth of the Andalusian paradise, what was the manufactured image that many have been trying to perpetrate about this history that you wanted to correct?
The image we have been getting is that, the invaders got there, but the invasion was not that bad. And pretty soon the inhabitants accepted it. And for centuries they lived in good harmony, the three cultures, the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews. And it is a model for our times. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. So that's the image we have been getting from all sides, even scholars, certainly journalists, and certainly politicians.
And you know, the Ewes is one of their anchors, and you write in The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise how, well, there are cooperations between the Jews and the invading Arabs and the Christians, and but that they're sort of glossing over the fact that that cooperation was the means of survival for those non-Muslim parts of those societies.
Well, of course. I mean, the reality is that the non-Muslims were what one might call properly a subaltern communities. They, the masses of Jews or Christians, did not and could not hold political power, and there were all sorts of limitations on what they could do. Much worse than, for example, what the situation of blacks in some areas of the United States prior to the civil rights movement. I mean, there's simply no comparison with the kind of situation that the Christians and Jews were facing there.
Talking with Professor Dario Fernandez Moreira, his book, The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So, in this society, how much did the invasion change life? Because, again, the naive impression might be that we certainly didn't have the internet, didn't have, you know, any really modern means of communication, and warfare was primitive, certainly compared to today's days. So, just how heavy of an iron fist did the invasion have as an impact on day-to-day life in Spain?
As much as was necessary. Any kind of opposition was ruthlessly crushed. And as far as religion is concerned, any kind of speech against Islam or comments about the Prophet were subject to capital punishment. So the repression was used as much as was necessary, and beheading, for example, was widespread practice. Beheading the enemies, and that meant also beheading Muslims who committed offenses against the religion. Crucifixion was also a means of repression. But, of course, the most effective part was the actual practice of the religion by the population, which was supervised by a class of clerics, the ulama, or in the case of the Shiites in Iran today, we can find an equivalent of that with the Ayatollahs. But over there in Sunni Islam, there were the ulamas, which was a class of very learned scholars who were practically in charge of dictating how the population should behave according to Islamic law. And it was very effective to control the population. So they were successful for a while in controlling both the rulers, I mean, and the ulama class in controlling the population of Muslims and also the Christians and the Jews. The Christians gradually disappeared from southern Spain because of conversions, because of flight. They would flee to the northern areas of the peninsula, which were still Christian, and which gradually increased in size as the Christians began the reconquest, fighting the Muslims toward the south. And also because of expulsions. Over time, Christians were expelled several times because the rulers were afraid the Christians might cooperate with the northern Christians who were trying to reconquer the land, or because the Christians would ally themselves with some converts to Islam who were unhappy with the way they were treated. All sorts of struggles were taking place there that had to be repressed. So it was a boiling cauldron of strife, religious strife, political strife, ethnic strife, not the kind of lovely place that we are told existed. So.
wrapping up our time with Professor Dario Fernandez-Morera. His book, The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain, here on Issues and Ideas. I love what the professor does, too, because at the beginning of each chapter, as well as in the beginning of the book overall, he takes and presents some of the quotes from those who want to paint different pictures from the history and the facts that the professor presents in his book. The idea of what we're looking at right now with what's happening in today's world with radical Islam, people say, oh, this is the invasion that we've been fearing that we have to battle. Is this, in fact, in the minds of radical Islamists, by their definition, something that they're just trying to regain that they feel is still their possession as far as any land with Europe, the caliphate being reassembled, and that whole philosophy?
Well, from the little I know about the matter, and of course I haven't researched the present situation the way I researched the one, you know, centuries ago in medieval Spain. From the little I know, the ideas of the Islamic caliphate ruled by al-Baghdadi in Syria and parts of Iraq is certainly the same type of ideology that animated the Islamic caliphate in the times that I have been talking about, both in the case of the Arab-led invasion, Muslim invasion of Spain, and later on that of the Turkish-led Islamic caliphate. The ideas are the same, and actually the methods are very much the same, and I must say quite effective. I mean, it's remarkable how much territory and how quickly the present-day Islamic caliphate of al-Baghdadi has been able to conquer, and how well they have managed to defeat a number of opposing forces. And that is that reminds one of the early successes of the Islamic caliphates. Anyway.
There comes a time when, it sounds odd to say, but this is one of those cases that Professor Fernandez-Morera proves true. The facts of our past can be a lesson for our future. And with the myth of the Andalusian paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews under Islamic rule in medieval Spain, Professor Fernandez-Morera does present the facts, corrects the misinterpretations and the outright attempts to redesign the facts of history, and gives you some insight to our present and a look into what could be the future if the battles are indeed lost. We have a link to the professor's website at Northwestern University as well, over to our website. But this is a book that you will get a very valuable education, and hopefully the people higher up in our military and political world will gain take the time to read his work as well. The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. Professor Dario Fernandez-Morera, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you very much, Chris, for inviting me. It's a pleasure talking to you.